Get ready to be transformed, inspired, and supremely blessed as you listen to the Word of God from Pastor Amy. Prepare your heart. You never remain the same again. God bless you as you listen.
Praise God. Now, today we're going to learn something. And I'm so excited about what we're going to share. Because my expectation is after today's service, you take the Word of God more seriously. And your application of the Word of God will be more alive. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes. But only those that are responding will get the full benefit. Praise the Lord. So how about those of us that are not responding? Jesus does not discriminate. Well, only those who responded to Jesus got a miracle. Do you know that? If you did not respond, you didn't get one. And that's clear in Mark chapter 6. In Matthew 13. He went to his hometown, and the Bible says he could not do many mighty miracles there. Why? Because they did not respond. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Jesus told a man, get up and walk, and he did not respond. But then in other cases, Jesus will tell the man, get up and walk, and the man gets up. So yes, only those who respond will get the best benefits. And only those who are alive respond. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So pay attention to me this Sunday. Don't be distracted. Don't be distracted. Do you understand? Don't be distracted. Tell your neighbor, don't be distracted. Tell the next person, don't be distracted. It's so important. Okay. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to talk about spiritual journey today. And I want you to pay attention to me. Okay, you're paying attention. Praise the Lord. Are you ready now? You sure? All right. Physically, every purposeful life has a destination. If your life is purposeful, there must be a destination, what we call destiny. Do you understand? If you enter a bus with purpose, there must be a destination. When you hear the conductor calling, Ojo Elegba, you know the destination. When you enter that bus, it is clear what your purpose is in entering the bus. To get to that destination, praise the Lord. Are you in this place? Same thing with life, physically. Every purposeful life has a destination. Now, on that route, that journey, there are different stops. Do you understand? As you move on in life, there are different stops, there are different locations. For some of you, where you grew up, you know, where you were when you were 3 years old, your physical address is not the same address you have right now. You have moved. Do you understand? You've changed location. Same thing with the bus. There are different junctions. There are different stops. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. For example, your location right now. Alright? And in that journey, like I said, there are different locations, different addresses. Some addresses are more permanent than some others. Praise the Lord. For example, when you're a student, your address is your hostel. But that is not your permanent address. Do you understand? For example, right now, your location is this place. But this is not your permanent address. Your workplace is more permanent than this place, right? I mean, you spend more time there. So it's easier for me to say, if you want to see her any day of the week, go to so-and-so place. But if you want to see her on Sunday, come to Love Even Church. Are you in this place? Where you stay is even more permanent than where you work. Because you'll be sleeping there, praise the Lord. And some days you don't go to work. Sometimes you lose your job. You'll still be in that place. Your country is more permanent than your house. There's people who have moved from Lagos to Abuja. They moved from Abuja to Port Harcourt, but they're still within the same country. Praise the Lord. So you have permanent locations. Are you noticing? You can be in like three locations at the same time. Permanent and then some temporary. So some locations are more temporary or more permanent than some others. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. And you know, at times where you stay, people tend to view you or judge you based on where you stay. For example, a guy who is staying at Aso Rock will be viewed more favorably than someone who is staying at Ogunlana. Do you agree with that? Are you in this place? The security at Aso Rock, even though it's a security man, will be viewed more favorably than the security in this place, right? Even though this place is greater than Asurok. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So where you stay tend to affect how people view you. Praise the Lord. Now, same thing spiritually. I talked about physically, right? So same thing spiritually. Every Christian has a destiny. What we call destiny. There's a purpose for your life. There's a God-given purpose for your life. And so every day you're walking towards that purpose. Just like physically, every day you're moving towards that purpose. For some of you, you're going to move. You're going to move from where you're staying right now, your home address, to somewhere else. Praise the Lord. So every day you're moving. All right? Same thing spiritually. God has a plan for your life. There's a plan. There's a destination. There's a destiny. Jeremiah 29 verse 11. Very popular. Jeremiah 29 verse 11. Look into your Bible. Jeremiah 29 verse 11. Yeah, so people are still looking at the TV. Look into your Bible. 29 verse 11. Put your phone on silent. Okay. Who's that? No more king would have located you immediately. 29 verse 11. If you're there, say I'm there. If you're not there, so wait for me. Verse 11. Okay, so some of us waiting for a TV. 11. He says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil." To give you what? So there's an expected end. There's a destination. Are you seeing that? There's a destiny. God has a unique destiny for you. A unique destination. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So on that journey, you have an address. Just like physically, you have a physical address. There is one that is more permanent, like I said, your country, praise the Lord. And there are some that are not so permanent, like your house, your workplace, your church, the restaurant you go to eat. Not so permanent. Are you paying attention to me? So same thing spiritually. There's a permanent place. If you're a Christian, the Bible says 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. Let's quickly go there. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. I read it on the TV. It says, "Therefore, if any man be where? In Christ. He is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." That means Christ is a place. He says, "If any man be in Christ." So, if you're a Christian, that is the proof that you're a Christian, that you're in Christ. You're not coming out. That's a permanent place. Are you in this place? Christ. Christ is that Mount Zion we talk about. The Bible says the one who is born again was born in Mount Zion. I in this place. It is that heavenly Jerusalem. So Christ is your country. Just like Nigeria is your country. It's quite permanent. Do you understand? So if you're in Christ, that's a permanent place. But then on Mount Zion, I in this place. Mount Zion is a mountain. Have you ever seen a mountain before? There are different levels. There's a base. Right? Are you in this place? There's a base. Then there's somewhere higher than the base. Right? And then you keep going higher and higher and higher till you get to the peak. So even though we are all at Mount Zion, we can be at different levels. Are you seeing that? Different locations. Different addresses. Some more permanent than some others. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. So even though we are in Christ, permanent place, there are different locations, the different places. And in this service, we're able to use the word of God to find out where your address is. Right? Great. So we're in Christ, different locations. Now, the word of God is anointed. The word of God is Christ. And in this place, the Bible says the word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. And Jesus Christ is the Word. So the Word is Christ. So that means when I look at the Word, I can easily find out the different locations. Right? I can know where I am. I can find out where I want to be. And I can walk in that direction. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. So through the Word of God, we're talking about spiritual journey. Do you understand? Through the Word of God, we can navigate our spiritual journey. The Word of God is like a tool, a navigation tool.
we are moving in line with that word to the expected end that God has for us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And this is not new. This is not new. Look at Jesus' life. Hebrews chapter 10. Let's go there. Are you following me? Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. Verse 6. Hebrews 10 verse 6. Guess what? I'm almost done. I hope. Alright, 10 verse 6. I read it. It says, now this is Jesus talking. He says, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Talking about in the Old Testament, they used to give burnt offerings. Someone says, why don't we do that anymore right now? Why? Why did it stop with Abraham? Why did it stop with Moses? Because God was not pleased with it. He was one who told them to do it, but he was not pleased. Why? Because every time they gave an offering for sin, it meant they had done something wrong. And you know what? They'll do it again. So here Jesus is saying, listen, in those burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, God had no pleasure. And you know, he's God. I'm in his place. If he doesn't like something, he can change it. And so here he's telling us why he caused the change. Verse 6. He says, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Verse 7. He says, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Jesus is talking. He's saying, God didn't want burnt offering sacrifice for sin. He wanted someone to do his will. And so Jesus said, I am come to do that will. He says, well, here's where I'm going to. He says, what I came to do has already been written. His destiny was clear to him. I'm in this place. His purpose for coming was clear to him. Then he knew. He knew how to navigate that destination. He said, it is in the volume of the book. And when you study the word of God, you realize that at every point in Jesus' life, it was traced to an address in the word of God. Are you in this place? Every point in Jesus' life, when you read the book of Matthew was very good at that. Everything Jesus did, it was traced to an address. So while he did something physically, Matthew said, listen, spiritually, there's a location. We can find his action in a particular book of the Bible. Go to Matthew 1. Matthew chapter 1. So here, Jesus knew his location. It was in the Word. We are born of the Word. Our location is in the Word. It's in the Word. Matthew 1. 1 verse 22. So he knew his journey on this earth would have to be limited to scriptures. He would not be found doing something, going somewhere outside the scriptures. Praise the Lord. Everything he did, everything he said, had to be limited to the scriptures. Even when he flogged people, it was found in the scriptures. Look at that. Matthew 1 verse 22. He says, now all this was done. Okay, let's start from 20. So you understand what's happening. 20. All right. Now, Joseph just heard his wife is pregnant. Do you understand? But he's not responsible. So he's thinking what to do. Verse 20, he says, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So the angel is saying, listen, no, the baby she has is not by any man. It's from the Holy Ghost. Meaning she's still a virgin. Do you understand? It's not by any man, it's from the Holy Ghost. Now, verse 22. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted. Okay. Where did he get this from? Go to Isaiah.
Isaiah chapter 7. 7 verse 14. Jesus said he came to fulfill the law and the prophets. Do you understand? And those books existed before Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the rest of it. Now he said he came in the volume of the book that is written of him to do God's will. So his own scripture ended at Malachi. Are you in this place? That's where I'm going to. So if you wanted to find his physical location, you had to look at those books. Isaiah 7 verse 14. I read it. It says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name what? Emmanuel. So now the writer is saying that thing that happened, you could trace it back to Isaiah 7 verse 14. Go to Matthew 2. Matthew 2 verse 15. So when you look at his life at that point, you say, where in the word of God can we locate what is happening right now? You find it in Isaiah 7 verse 14. Matthew 2. Matthew 2 verse 15. Or let's start from 13. 2 verse 13. Now what's the story? Herod planned to kill Jesus. And since he didn't get the right age or the location of Jesus from the wise men, he planned to kill every child that was Jesus' age. Praise the Lord. Verse 13. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, you see, Joseph dreamt good dreams. Praise the Lord. And there was a Joseph before that used to dream. So if your name is Joseph here, we should come and meet you. You might have a dream. All right. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee into where? Egypt. So now, the baby is a young child. And God appears to his early father, sends an angel to his early father, says, run to Egypt. That means he's going to change physical location. Do you understand? He's moving from Israel to Egypt. All right. Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. And be thou there until I bring the word. So that's not a permanent place. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into where? Egypt. Are you in this place? Verse 15. And was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called who? My son. Go to Hosea. Hosea 11, verse 1. Hosea 11, verse 1. So interesting. 11, verse 1. So there's down there. Is it on the TV? All right, verse 1. He says, when Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of where? Egypt. So the first experience, are you noticing there are different prophets prophesying now? It's not just one prophet. The first one was Isaiah who prophesied that a virgin would give birth to a son. Now this Hosea saying, listen, God will call his son out of Egypt. But something caused it. His father had to run, do you understand? And then came back to Egypt. Let's look at another one. Matthew 8, verse 17. Now there are many, but I'll just pick a few that I think are interesting. Matthew 8, verse 17. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 8, verse 17. Well, let's start from 16. Put in context. It says, when the evil was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our what? Sicknesses. So that can be found in Isaiah 53, verse 4. Let's go to the last one. John 2. Last one in my notes. There are many more. John 2, verse 16. Oh, verse 14. 2 verse 14. Praise the Lord. Are you following me? Are you in this place? 14. It says, "I'm found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting." Verse 15. "And when he had made a scourge of small cords," that means he made the cane. Do you understand? They were not selling cane there. He was the one who said, "Excuse me." So he went to the bush and he picked the cane. Praise the Lord. "When he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money." Can you imagine that? They had their money together in a place, maybe in a basket or in an offering box. And you know what he did? He poured it out. "And overthrew the tables." That means he was catching things. Our precious Jesus, praise the Lord. If you came into a building and you saw a man scattering, you said that's the Savior. So I'm coughing. What was the meaning of that? But that's what he was saying. Verse 16. "And said unto them that sold those, take these things hence. Make not my Father's house an house of merchandise." Verse 17. "And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house had what? Eaten me up." So they could trace this action to a portion of scripture. Are you in this place? They knew at this point, this is the location where it was. Let's go to that scripture, Psalm 69. Psalm 69, verse 9. It says, "For the zeal of thine house had eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproached thee are what? Fallen upon me." And that particular last line was also about Jesus. Praise the Lord. Alright, but I like this because there are different writers. You saw Isaiah give us a location. You see Hosea give us a location. You see now in the book of Psalm another location. Different writers, but the same author. The author of his destiny, the Spirit of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so, when you look at his life, you could view through the word, the location, the address where he is, where he's functioning. Praise the Lord. Where he's functioning. Just like John, the Jews, the Pharisees sent Jews to meet him and ask him, "Are you the Christ?" He said, "No." They said, "So who are you?" He said, "I am the voice." Think about it. He found who he was in the word. Are you in this place? He found it. When they asked him, "Who are you?" He didn't say, "My name is John, the son of Zechariah and Elizabeth. And before I was born," let me tell you this story, it was very hard. No. He didn't discern it physically. He answered the question with his spiritual address, position, and location. He said, "I'm the voice." John 1 verse 23, let's go there. I'm going somewhere, just follow me. John 1 verse 23. He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet," what? Isaiah. Now, he went back to the prophets to find out who he was. And he stayed there. Are you in this place? If they came the next day, he would have given the same answer. If they came the previous day, he would have given the same answer. He was sure of who he was. He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness." Now, that was Jesus and that was John. And they were prophesied about. But the good news is that doesn't stop there. When you're born again, you're in Christ. The Word of God is Christ. In the Word, you can trace where you are right now. And you can find out if where you are is a good place. If it's not, you can move. Praise the Lord. First Peter 1. One of the reasons why you have the Word of God, not just to fulfill religious activity, there's a reason. First Peter 1. Verse 10. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You're there, right? It says, "Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you." Okay. Verse 11. "Searching what? Or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should what? Follow." So every time they prophesied about Jesus' suffering, they were wondering, what time would this happen? Do you understand? They prophesied about the glory of his coming. They were wondering, what time would this happen? Isaiah prophesied about Jesus, for example, he said, "A virgin shall give birth to a son." When he said that, he was wondering which time. Is it now or later? Praise the Lord. So he's telling us the thoughts of this prophet. Verse 11. He says, searching what or what manner of time. What manner of time? I like that. He said, what manner of time? That means the days we are living in is a different kind of time. Do you understand? He said, what manner of time? It must be a unique time. When God himself comes to the earth, that's a special time. Praise the Lord. He says, searching what or what manner of time, true of Christ, which was in them, did signify when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Verse 12. Unto whom it was revealed. That means when they asked this question, God revealed it to them. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us. That means unto me. Do you understand? Just like Jesus prophesied about, now they are prophesying and they're wondering, when would this happen? The Spirit of God told them, no. It's not your time. It's going to happen in Abby's time. Do you understand? It's going to happen when this set of people are around. Look at this. Verse 12. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire towards. Are you in this place? He's saying the prophets also prophesied about you. Get it? They prophesied about Jesus and they were always correct. Do you understand? Everything they said came to pass. Now, if I look at Jesus' life and they were always correct, then I can say whatever the word of God has said about me would always be correct. But then, you can be at the wrong place. Because we find out from history, history in the word of God, that there are men that God has prophesied to, and what he said did not come to pass in their life. Because we are at the wrong place doing the wrong thing at the wrong time. For example, Saul. God has said, we'll give him an everlasting dynasty. The same thing with Jeroboam. Is that what happened? No. Why? Because Saul was doing the wrong thing at the wrong place at the wrong time. That's why I'm saying that in your journey as a Christian, there's a place you ought to be part time. But you could be in the wrong place. But it's your job to use the word of God and navigate yourself back to the right place. Praise the Lord. Now that we've seen that our lives, our addresses, has been written down in the word of God. Let me show you some examples. And then we can use the word of God and learn with the word of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you in this place? Yes, so right now, as I'm talking, I said, and we saw it in John chapter 2, that Jesus went to the temple and chased people out. That action could be traced back. Do you understand? To Psalm 69, right? And then from that Psalm 69, we can understand what's going on there. So that was his location at that point, Psalm 69. Do you understand? And then he was killed and buried, and that can be traced to Isaiah 53. So at different points in his physical journey, we can trace it back to the spiritual journey. Do you understand? The spiritual controls the what? Physical. So where you are, your spiritual location would definitely affect your physical location. Now we all can trace our spiritual location in the Word of God. Especially when you observe your physical mannerisms. Let me show you something. James chapter 1. Let's say you're someone right now. Maybe something happened. Let me trace some locations in the word. Maybe something happened. And you're using your faith. So, 1 minute you're talking to Pastor Yinka. You say, I believe I am so full of faith. I'll come out of this. Do you understand? You go back home. You see Chinedu. You say, only God will help us. Help my unbelief. Are you in this place? Then you see Marian and say, I'm not so sure, but I believe God. Do you understand? Or maybe you require some cash and you come and say, the God that parted the Red Sea, what is 1 million to him? He can give me 1 million right now. I believe. Do you understand? Few hours later, God is big. How much is 100K that I cannot give me? Nothing is too big for my God. 100K. The next one, he said, at least 5K. Let me just buy a recharge card. Physically, things are happening. Do you understand? But we can trace that action to a spiritual address. James 1. Let me be sure now. James 1, verse 6. James 1, verse 6. James 1, verse 6. James 1, verse 6. So see that guy that 1 minute he's saying one thing, the next minute he's saying something else, the next minute he's saying something else. In the Word of God, there's a place where he is. Do you understand? There's a place where he is. Look at it. James 1, verse 6. He says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and what? Tossed. Verse 7. He says, for let not that man. Okay, wait. Look at this. Now we have found his location is in James 1, verse 6. Do you understand? That's why he's going like this. Going, he's like a wave. 1 minute he's here. Have you seen a wave before? Up, down, up, down. 1 minute is full of faith. The next minute his faith is down. He's like a wave. He's in James 1, verse 6. But then when you read down, you realize the consequences of where he is. Verse 7. He says, for let not that man think that he shall what? Receive anything of the Lord. God is not impressed. Whether he moved from 1 million to 100,000, God will not say, oh, he has reduced it. Let me give him 100,000. No, he says, don't even think it. You're not going to get anything. Not just that. Verse 8. He says, a double-minded man is what? You see that thing he's doing? 1 minute is up. The next minute is down. It's going to affect him. It's going to affect all his ways. Are you in this place? If his speech cannot be straightforward, check out his relationship at home. His relationships at work. It will not be straightforward. 1 minute, he's the best. The next minute, he's the meanest. It's clear. It's because he's planted in James 1, verse 6. So if you're in this place and you're like that, 1 minute, you're believing God for so much, you believe this cancer would die. The next minute, you're checking the best surgeons in the country. Nothing wrong with surgery. But stay one place. Do you understand? Stay in one place. 1 minute you're using your faith that the cancer is not there anymore. In church, we are praying. You put your hands there. After church, you're Googling best surgeon near Suleri. He's saying, guess what? You will not receive anything from the Lord. You're planted in the wrong place. We can find your location. It's in James 1 verse 6. When you have found out you're there, guess what? You can move. Are you in this place? You can move. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. 58. Look at it. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So that guy was always shaking. Do you understand? Always wavering. 1 minute he's here, the next minute he can move. I say, you know what? I'm steadfast. I'm unmovable. Do you understand? I'm steadfast, movable. Okay, the guy can say, you know, I was having faith, but something happened, and that's why I changed my confession. Well, you can navigate your way back to James 1, verse 2. Let's go there. James 1, verse 2. Oh boy. James 1 verse 2. Quickly. 1 verse 2. Verse 2. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into what? Diverse temptations. Maybe you said, this is what I want. And something happened that changed your expectation. You know what you can say? You know what? I'm planted in James 1 verse 2. And if you're planted in the right spiritual location, guess what? Everything would conform to that spiritual location. Let's say your son who is always worried. You're concerned and sad. We can find where you are. 2 Corinthians 7. 2 Corinthians 7. 7. Verse 10. Now, I'm teaching you stuff. Alright? If something happens to you and you have a reaction, find that reaction in the Word of God. Then, in the Word of God, you see the result of that kind of reaction. If the result is something you don't like, move. Do you understand? Are you in this place? Move. It's like you're looking for a house and you go to a place and there's always flood there. Is there a place to stay? No, you move. So if something happens to you, or maybe nothing happens to you, and you're looking at your reaction, find it in the Word of God. This is where you are spiritually. And if you don't like it, you know what? You move. 2 Corinthians 7, it says, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh what? Death. So you're always concerned. You're filled with grief. You're worried. He's saying, careful. You might die. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Say, careful, you might die. Now, when you find out this is where you are, you can now move to Philippians 4, verse 6. Philippians 4, verse 6. Praise the Lord. You're also quiet. Let's read together. I want to go. Stop. That's where I want to pitch my tent. Do you understand? Someone can say, aren't you worried about what I'm saying? Say, no, I'm in Philippians 4, verse 6. Do you understand? I said Mount Zion is a mountain. Help me with this. Thank you. Mount Zion is a mountain. And you have the base. You have different levels. If there's a flood, who will be the first to be affected? If you don't want to be affected, you do what? If a challenge comes, move to Philippians 4, verse 6. So the time you're affected, no. That's where I'm planted. It says, be anxious for what? Nothing. It says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with what? Thanksgiving. So that's your word. So no, I just thank God. The way you're thanking Him, we can trace where you are. Do you understand? You're in Philippians 4, verse 6. Another example. Thank you. Let's say you're going for an interview. Now, this is a good part. Are you paying attention to me? Pay attention to this. I've said we can trace where you are right now. Alright? But let's say you're going for a job interview. Before you get to that physical location, the office, do you understand? Pay attention to me. Before you get to that office at VI, there is a spiritual location where you can stand. So that when you get there, everything will be easy for you. Do you understand? Before you enter the bus and go to VI, in your home, find a spiritual location where you would stand. So no matter what you see at that physical location, you know where you are. What's that location? One of them. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. You're going for an interview. When you go for an interview, what do you want? You want to be chosen. Do you understand? You want to be picked. You want to be given the job. No. This is not the time to go to by His stripes you are healed. You're not going to a sickness location. Do you understand? You're not going to a hospital. You're going to look for a job. Do you understand? Alright, so if you're going to look for a job, before you leave your house, find out where you should stand spiritually. You know, there are people who, when they go for, terrible guys, do you understand? When they're going for an interview, they go to meet the juju man. And they say, Baba, do something. They have the confidence that if the Baba can set it spiritually, physically, nothing can change it. Are you in this place? Well, we have the Word of God. With the Word of God, you can set your location spiritually. So that when you get there, nothing can change it. You know the Word of God, and there are so many verses you know. So for each situation, you can pick a place to stand. Are you in this place? So just like you have your permanent residence, Nigeria, you have your home, but now you're going to work, so you're going to a new location. Same thing spiritually. You're in Christ. Are you in this place? Yeah, you're a new creation. But now you're going for that job interview and you need a spiritual address. So you go to 1 Peter 2 verse 9. It says, but you are a chosen generation. That means you are God's choice. Listen, as you leave the house, you remember I'm God's choice. That's where I am. Do you understand? You carry that environment with you into that place. That's how you use the Word of God. Let's say you're given a project and it's so tough. Praise the Lord. Or you just don't want to mess up. There's a place you can be found. Ephesians 2.
Ephesians 2, verse 10. 2 verse 10. He says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works. That means I am fabricated to do good works. If I was given this project, it cannot turn out bad. Do you understand? It has to be good. So you plant yourself in that address. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Maybe they say there's a robbery in your area. For the past 3 nights, thieves have stolen phones. Do you understand? They've seen ladies and they've slapped them. They stole their bags. Now you're going out. I think you should place yourself somewhere. Do you understand? You should find a spiritual place where you place yourself. So no matter what happens physically, you know everything is settled. And there's a location like that. 1 John chapter 4. Someone says, you're going out at night. Don't you know that place is safe? You say, I'm in a safer place. Do you understand? I'm in a safer spiritual location. Listen, when you enter the bus, just keep that verse in your mind. That's where you are. Do you understand? Let me tell you something. When you're going for that job interview, alright, it's a physical place. Throughout your journey, your mind is on that place, right? So ensure the driver, if you're entering an Uber, doesn't miss the place. Do you understand? Physically, your mind is there. Same thing spiritually. When you have set your tent at you are a chosen generation, keep your mind there. Do you understand? If you were going somewhere, VI, and the driver was about to move to Lexus, so he said, no, that's the wrong place. Why? Because you have the physical location in view. If you have set your tent at your spiritual location, your spiritual address, if something happens that seems contrary, you can come and say, no, that's not the right place. I am God's choice. Do you understand? I'm God's choice. 1 John 4 verse 4. I said, if they are robbing in your area and you want to go out, no need to chicken. Just remember, he says you are of God. That alone is a blessing. He said they are robbing people. They are robbing men. You are of God. Didn't you hear? There was once two angels went to Sodom and they tried to disturb them. What happened? All of them became blind. Those are angels, not children of God. He says, you are of God. That alone is a blessing. That alone is a blessing. So you're going to buy some sand of God. Not of this world. He says, you're of God, little children. And of what? Ah! You're God. This is 7 p.m. And you're going out 7 p.m. God spoke about you overcoming them. Alright? He saw the 7 p.m. He has seen the 7.05 p.m. Do you understand? Maybe if you went out, you meet them 10 minutes later. He has seen the 10 minutes later. And he says what? You have overcome them. Why? He says because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. There is someone inside of you that is bigger than all. That's good. Listen to this. Go to Luke 10. Luke 10. Luke 10. Verse 19. I like this one. I said, there are robbers in your area. He says, behold. Someone says, but they did not mention my name. Didn't you read Hosea 11 verse 1? When he says, out of Egypt have I called my son. If we did not see it in Matthew, we would never have thought it was talking about Jesus. Do you understand? I'm showing you how Jesus himself interpreted the word concerning himself. Man can say that is not how to interpret it. I don't care. How did the word of God interpret the word of God himself? When Isaiah said, a voice of one crying in the wilderness, he didn't mention John's name. In fact, when Isaiah said, a virgin shall give birth to a son, and he shall be called Emmanuel. What, Jesus called Emmanuel? Come on, talk to me. Was he called Emmanuel? No, if he was looking at it, he would have said, the name they mentioned there is Emmanuel. Where is Mary? Why did you call me Jesus? But it was God who named him Jesus. So don't wait to see your name there. Pitch your tent in the word. Are you in this place? Verse 19. He says, behold, I give unto you power. Remember what we learned last week. He says, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. He says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents. Have you seen some cultists? What's your name? Serpent. What's the name? Scorpio.
No wahala. He says he gives us power to do what? Tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. It doesn't stop there. He says, and nothing shall by any means. Any means. He said, anyhow they try, cannot hurt you. This is a man who went to hell and came back. I think he's serious. Do you understand that? I think he's serious. If this is where you are planted, you can go anywhere. Are you seeing that? You can go anywhere. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Just have that in your mind. They say there are rapists everywhere. Nothing shall by any means. That's where you are. Are you in this place? That's where you are. Listen. Let's say you're in NYC camp because of the time something like that happened. And some hoodlums are going around killing people. Do you understand? Are you in this place? I remember when that happened, the camp commandants went to tell the coppers. They said, run to the barracks. Do you understand? Run. Are you in this place? Run to the barracks where the soldiers are for protection. Because they will not go to the barracks. Do you understand? Now, before you run to that physical location, pitch your tent in a spiritual location. Because anything can happen there. Do you understand? So, listen. People are smart enough to know that even if you have a sort of permanent address, when something is happening, you would have to move. Do you understand? Yeah, we have a permanent address, Christ. But at times, things happen in your life. And so you move to a scripture. Do you understand? You move to a place. So before you run to the barracks, stay here. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. You can still be going to the barracks, but be confident of where you are spiritually. Nothing shall by any means what? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So, the last one. What if you're on your own and you heard bad news? Where should you place your tent? Maybe you're right here. Do you understand? Full of joy. And then you hear bad news. Something you did not expect. They said something changed. The end that was supposed to give you the job has been sacked. The government that was supposed to help you has been removed. I think you should just travel. Travel and go to Romans 8 verse 28. Romans 8 verse 28. He said, what are you going to say? I know where I'm standing. He says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. They say, where are you standing? He said, Romans 8 verse 38. That news is working together for my good. Do you understand? Listen, then later on, when we get to heaven, we can look at your life just like we look at Jesus' life. You'll say, when she heard that bad news, she did not move according to what was written. All things are working together for her good. When she heard the robbers outside, she was not scared according to what was written. Nothing shall by any means hurt her. Do you understand? When she went for that job interview, even though they were shaking, she got it according to what was written. She is a chosen generation. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All things are working together for my good. All things. All things. Things that meet my expectations. Things that possibly do not meet my expectations. All working together for my good. But it is something I decided last week. A place I decided to stay. Do you understand? I can still move, but there's a place I decided to stay. Psalms 23. Verse 1 is a blessing, isn't it? 23 verse 1. Someone said this government is not trying. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Verse 2. This is not where I decided to stay. But this is nice. Alright? Verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still water. Now, let's stop here. Let me just digress. After this service, the way you behave, where I'm finding it in scripture.
Do you understand? Finally, that's where you are. Then you ask yourself, is that where I want to be? Or do I want to be better? Do you understand? If you want to be better, look for something else and stay there. Praise the Lord. Verse 3. Let's go fast. He restored my soul. He led me in the path of righteousness. For his name's sake. I like this one. If you're given a project, do you understand? And you might make mistakes, put your tent there. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. So everything I do will be right. Do you understand? They say this project, or let's say they give you a car to drive. This car, Rolls Royce, $1 million. Move it from Ogunlano to Jolegba. Now, if they give you a Corolla, you just... But a Rolls Royce of $1 million. There's people here that will not agree. They say, no, please. I don't want. But if you have to, guess what? He leads you in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. He will lead you on the right path. Not where a downfall will hit the car. No way. Do you understand? You will not press the wrong button. You only press the right buttons. Alright, so that's nice. Verse 4. Yay! When I said robbers, this is also somewhere you can stay. Do you understand? He says, yay, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death? I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and they comfort me. Beautiful. Beautiful. They say people have been dying in that street. Though I walk to the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Verse 5, this is where I decided I wanted to stay. He says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I don't have enemies. That's where I'm going to. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth forth over. Oh my God. Listen, throughout this week, I just kept that in my mind. My cup is running over. It's not finishing. Do you understand? It will run over and run over and run over. That's where I am. Do you understand? That's where I am. Listen, it doesn't matter what I see physically. I know where I am. Do you understand? The cup is what? Running over. That means it is full surplus. It's just pouring. I have enough and I have enough to give to others. My cup is running over. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is my place. Your place can be Lekki phase 1. Do you understand? Your place can be Surule. This is my own location. My cup runneth over. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So on this journey, this wonderful spiritual journey, find your place. And if anything comes to you, get to the right place. Do you understand? Find your location. Stay there. I'm always reminded of Abraham and Isaac. They were going to that Mount Moriah. And Isaac said, Father, where is the sacrifice? Abraham did not prepare for any other sacrifice but Isaac. Do you understand? There was no goat. There was no sheep. There was no ram. There was no cow. They didn't even carry a dog. Just Isaac. But Abraham said something. He said, the Lord will provide himself. Now, this is what always comes to my mind. While they were going, they didn't find the ram, by the way. Do you understand? They climbed the mountain. There was no ram. No ram in sight. Do you understand? When Abraham took Isaac and was ready to, when he tied him, first and foremost, there was no ram. Nothing. Nothing. It wasn't like the ram hid somewhere. Nothing was there. When he's about to stab the boy, and God said, Abraham, Abraham, stop! Then the ram came. So at times you're going and you're expecting something, and you've gotten to the last door. The Lord will provide. Do you understand? The Lord will provide. Throughout this week, I just get that. My cup runneth over. My cup runneth over. If there's a consciousness, God is conscious. He knows what is happening. Do you understand? He knows it. He knows what's happening. Ah, this is where I am. My cup runneth over. Speaking other tongues.
speak in our tongues. And yes, you might have broken bones. You were playing ball and your bone got broken. And because of that, you have gotten used to it. He says none of his bones should be broken. He says you are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. When are you going to plant your tent there and say, you know what? This is perfect. And in your life, you live within the Word of God. Nothing happens to you outside the Word of God. Nothing is permitted to happen outside the Word of God. The Lord will provide. Why would you go to that interview thinking, they said the governor's son is there, they said the senator's son is there? That doesn't mean anything. You are God's choice, accepted in the beloved.